Kevin, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thanks for having me.
It's your first time here, so we have some get-to-know-you questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a favorite composer?
I don't know if I can give you one. I can give you a few.
Okay.
I really love, in terms of contemporary composers, John Adams. I like his musical aesthetic. I think he's fascinating. His rhythmic kind of contrapuntal style. I love Vaughan Williams, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And Bach and Mozart are pretty high on the list. Also Stravinsky, just because he was doing things that nobody had really heard of and that so many composers after have tried to copy. But he came up with that on his own with no outside inspiration. So I find that really fascinating.
Do you have a movie or TV series that you're really into right now?
Right now, not so much. In terms of favorite movies, though, I think the Lord of the Rings movies are pretty fantastic.
Okay, and amazing music, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite trumpet piece?
It's a hard question. There's a concerto by Estonian composer Aino Tamberg for trumpet and orchestra from the 20th century that I find really fascinating. It's very challenging. It's very technical, but it's musically very evocative and vivid. I enjoy it because he really takes the trumpet seriously and he really takes advantage of the instrument. And I always appreciate when composers do that for any instrument.
That's interesting. So do you find that there's a lot of repertoire that doesn't take the trumpet seriously? Or what does that look like when that happens?
I think occasionally that for some instruments that composers aren't as familiar with, they don't always write pieces that take advantage of all the facets of it. But I think he does a fantastic job of that.
So maybe they default to sort of tropes or kind of familiar
fanfare-y
kind of vibes. And okay.
Which isn't always bad because the trumpet sounds great doing that.
Absolutely. But I think I know what you mean, yeah. What's your favorite non-classical, non-orchestral song these days?
That's a hard question. I don't listen to as much other music as I should. I enjoy the fusion group Snarky Puppy a lot. I like Miles Davis, Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I don't listen to as much of it as I should.
I'm sure you're very busy with a lot of other things. What's your favorite area in Toronto and why?
I love all the greener open park areas, Sunnybrook Park, High Park. I find the kind of fusion of urban and more like forest, really inspiring.
Did you grow up in Toronto?
I did. I grew up in East York, and then I moved to Richmond Hill when I was pretty young, 6.
Tell us a bit about your history with the trumpet and with the Toronto Symphony Youth Orchestra.
So I started playing the trumpet when I was 7 years old. Both of my parents were musicians. My dad is a trombone player. He played in the Salvation Army tradition, and he's also a freelancer in the city. He's a high school music teacher as well. And my mom is a pianist. And I always wanted to play the trombone because my dad did that. I grew up seeing him perform and play solos, and I thought it was awesome. But I was really, really small. And so he brought him a trumpet, and I got started on that, and I enjoyed it. And I always wanted to switch. But he said, you know, when you master the trumpet, then you can move on to the trombone.
And that's kind of like a trick, trick goal there.
And so at 10 years old, I was like, okay, this makes sense. 15 years later, I'm still working on the trumpet, and I think I'll probably stay there.
Yeah, you've reconciled with that higher register.
Yeah, trying to still.
Okay.
In terms of TSYO, I learned about it in high school. I saw some of the YouTube recordings, actually. I think Beethoven Egmont Overture or something. They also played Prokofiev 5. This is when I think Will Leathers was actually in TSYO. I thought, this is really amazing. I want to do this. I wasn't quite at the level yet. I auditioned a few times. Last year, I got alternate, and then this year, I was accepted. So that's really exciting. And I've had lots of friends and colleagues that have done it for quite a few years now. So getting to see them perform has always been exciting. And having the opportunity this year to perform has been really amazing.
So is it living up to your expectations?
Yeah, it's just fantastic. Getting to play in an orchestra of that level, I mean, with world-class TSO musicians as coaches, with Trevor leading us, it's been a really great musical year with all the repertoire that we've been able to cover.
Well, speaking of repertoire, you've got a big concert coming up next weekend. It's called Shostakovich's Fifth. So that's the major work on the program, Shostakovich Symphony No. 5, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But lots of other fantastic music, including Lily Boulanger's De Matin de Printemps and Ravel's Alborada del Gracioso. Tell us a bit about these works.
Ravel, Alborada's incredibly creative, imaginative piece. He's using a lot of these Spanish rhythmic gestures and ideas. And I mean, we know Ravel for other works like Bolero and Daphnis, but this, I think, is Ravel at some of his most creative and orchestrationally incredibly imaginative. There's such great solo work in the winds and the strings. This great interplay between the percussion and string harmonics and these different things going on. And it's also incredibly technically demanding. He asks a lot of the winds and the brass in terms of very fast articulation. So it's very exciting to play and very challenging too. The Boulanger it's a piece that's getting a lot of traction recently. I've heard it a lot. I enjoy it a lot. We don't have as many works from her as we would like to have because her life was cut short. It's originally a piece for, I believe, piano. It's a chamber piece. But the transcription for orchestra is quite imaginative. It takes advantage of every instrumental family quite well. And it's been a joy to play.
Now, the big work is the Symphony No. 5 by Dmitri Shostakovich. What are you most looking forward to about performing this work?
This piece, for me, has been a big piece. It's a piece I grew up with. When I was much, much younger, I discovered the All-Star Orchestra with Gerard Schwartz, I think on Khan Academy. And it was my first introduction to score study because they made these educational videos, instrument demos. You could get to know these professionals and their background. And one of the videos that he did was on Shostakovich 5. And that was my first intro to it, I think maybe like 12 or 13. And I was like, this is fantastic. Like, this is really, really cool. And then so coming back and being able to play it in TSYO has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's such an incredible piece. I think it's Shostakovich at some of his best. It's a huge work. It's very evocative. It's a huge range of emotion. I think the orchestral writing is fantastic. There's some great trumpet excerpts, brass excerpts.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
solos for many instruments. And it's incredibly exciting to play. Very moving as well.
It's a huge journey,
yeah.
That work. How would you describe that journey?
I think it's hard to describe because different conductors have different interpretations, especially of the ending.
Right. Is it truly joyful, or is he sort of sarcastically and malevolently commanding everyone to rejoice? This is kind of the question, right?
I think I was listening to a recording conducted by, I think, Shostakovich's son, who is also a conductor. Mm-hmm. And it's very slow ending. And different conductors have different interpretations. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be doing, but I do think that it is a more somber, it's D major, a billion D major chords, mm-hmm. But there is something dark about that sonority. In terms of the journey.
One of my favorite parts of this symphony is actually the slow movement.
Yeah,
you don't
sure.
even play.
But it's fantastic.
But you get to sit and listen.
Yeah.
What is it like, sort of, you're taking part in this work and then in this deep searching moment, you sit and listen?
I do enjoy that. As a brass player, we do sit and listen to lots of softer textures often. Not that we don't always participate in them, but I mean, it's just stunningly beautiful. There's elements of that at the end of the first movement as well, but just the writing for strings and winds in that movement is just very moving. And getting to hear that is always enjoyable in an orchestral performance.
Now, I understand you're also a budding composer. You're at the University of Toronto, both for trumpet and composition. Are there things you're picking up from this repertoire?
Absolutely.
That side of your life?
Absolutely. Revisiting this piece after having begun to study composition is just a totally different view because I enjoyed it just as a musical work. But if you dig into the score and you look at, I mean, how he handles his material, his orchestration, it's incredibly skillfully assembled in that he starts with just a couple intervals And then he basically uses the entire compositional toolbox to turn that into a brilliant movement. And he does it again and again and again.
Taking something very simple, very basic.
Yeah.
And then unfolding.
For sure.
Multitudes.
And just, I enjoy his orchestration. I think it's brilliant. There are always things that you pick up as a composer from different composers that you hopefully take some of into your own writing. I enjoy his use of the strings and the upper winds and horns. It is kind of relentless, but it is incredibly expressive. And I think his low brass stuff is really fun.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Well, Gavin Hayward Jr., it's been such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
All the best for next week's performance.
Thanks for having me.
And for everything going forward.
Thanks so much.